Oh.
Yeah, you should be automatic refilled now.
If you're wondering why we're laughing, we will get into that very soon. Yeah, we're live. I ain't messing around. And we are talking about the Miami Dolphins taking on another winless team on Monday. What is up, Dolphin fans? How is everyone doing on another Dolphin Collective Friday? We're getting ready to take on another winless team, but before we jump into all the good stuff, we got to shout out our sponsors, first being SeatGeek. Go check them out. Click the link in the description. Use the promo code PHINSFINS to get $20 off your first purchase if you're going to the game on Monday, or if you don't even have tickets but like to, use the app. 28 million downloads, 70,000 events, whether it's concerts, sports, festivals. Go check it out. Use the promo code. Get $20 off your first purchase. We also have on here Sleeper. Now, I'm going to be later in the stream. I'm going to be asking the guys for the more or less on this game using Sleeper app. Very fun. Very fantastic fantasy app. Go check them out. Use the promo code HMA. You get 100% up to $100. So, is Tua being defensive? So that's the first subject we're jumping into. I see this is going to be fun. I don't see any arguments happening with this one. So Cam Newton made some comments, and Tua made some comments, and then today Cam Newton came back out and he made some comments. I will say Cam Newton's rebuttal to Tua's comments was very good. It was very neutral, because he even said, you know, when he's good, he's good. Like Cam Newton came out and said, when he's on, he's top in the NFL. He's good, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. But he hasn't been good. He said, you know, it may be one of the things he said that made me laugh is, you know, Tua says, it's easy for you to click, click, click. And Cam Newton said, it's also very easy to go over. So it was like, ooh, little jab there. So
he sucked it up his final few seasons in the NFL.
His last game against the Dolphins was like, woo.
Got me. Yeah, too. Yeah. Doo-doo. I think Tua's beaten Cam twice.
Yeah.
Not that game.
Tua didn't beat him, the team did, but go ahead.
Wow. When it's convenient when it needs to be a team game. But continue.
Anyway. So we'll start with TD, because he's the biggest Tua fan on this panel. What's your thoughts on Tua being defensive? Because just real quick, I think he is. I think lately he's been super defensive. And I agree with Cam Newton where he says the quiet Tua is the better Tua. What is your thoughts on that, TD?
I think Tua has a lot of pressure on his plate right now. And I think that started in the offseason when they asked him to step out of his bubble, to be more of a leader. They asked a lot of Tua this year. I feel like they asked him to, you know, take more ownership of the team in general with the leadership, especially with what happened last year. And that's what he's trying his best to do. Now all of these things on his plate, we're not getting the results, and everything lays at his feet, at least a vast majority of it. And everybody's going to have an opinion. And right now, it's interesting to me. It's like Tua really, I don't think he really does focus on what other people have to say. But we do have media members that ask him during media sessions. So they instigate things, like Omar Kelly, if you ever heard of him. But yeah, they instigate things, and Tua has to respond. And Tua is a honest guy. At least honest to what he feels, whether it's right or wrong. And that's what I feel that moment was. But I do think Tua is being defensive. I think the world is coming down around him right now. Everybody's attacking him. And here's a situation where he's felt very comfortable for 2.5-3 years. He's felt like the man. He's felt on top of the world. He's felt like his coach and everybody around him loves him, and it's just all good. And the first sign of turmoil that points to potentially him, he's cracking and he's getting defensive and he doesn't like it. And what I don't like about it is I haven't seen an iota of accountability, self-accountability.
You didn't watch the press conference.
What happened?
You didn't watch the whole press conference then. You just watched the Cam Newton clickbait. But the whole conference was 8 minutes of self-accountability.
No, Omar, we're going back for weeks now. Tua always finds it convenient to point out something around him and what others need to do. And I'm going to be in there watching to see who's going to be in the meetings and all of that. I don't see – the reality is
– That's not true. Look down. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Come on. Look at this guy.
I'm sorry. I don't see the real accountability in him. How about you hold accountability
and watch the entire press conference?
No, you're missing what I'm saying. Give accountability for yourself and don't include nobody else.
He did.
No,
did you watch the entire press conference?
I'm not talking about this one time. In general, has he not called other people out and said what others need to do and how he's going to be watching them and all of that?
He's being a leader, and if he wasn't being a leader, you would say, oh, Tua needs to be a leader. He needs to be more of the alpha male.
I haven't said Tua needs to be a leader. He can't be what he isn't.
Can I chime in? You guys on the whole time. Thank you.
Go ahead.
CD, further record, he said earlier in the press conference, I haven't played my best football. So when the Cam Newton comment came up later in the press conference, all he needed to say and should have said was, I already told you guys I haven't been playing my best football.
That's mild.
Cam Newton's entitled to his opinion. I'm not worried about what other people outside this building say. Boom, end of story.
But he didn't.
Correct.
And what did he do? Start talking about, I want to see how they – this is hard.
Think you're going to get anybody else talk this episode?
Well, it was asked of me to respond.
Damn. Spicy Allen. I know we got some Spicy Allen today.
He on his two appeals.
He did not need to go with the whole – it's easy when you're sitting at home with your clicker, just like last year with the stupid – it's easy when you're eating chips on your potato chips on your couch.
It's the truth. He doesn't think
the guy sitting on his couch is not being paid $10 million or whatever, $20 million to catch a shotgun snap. He needs to get off with that thing. Seriously, you're a quarterback in the NFL. Your play, spoiler alert, is going to get criticized.
I don't know what y'all definition of accountability is, but saying that is removing accountability. Oh, well, this is a hard thing to play. I guess everybody can play it.
No, the part where he said, I haven't played my best football, is taking accountability.
That's mild.
But it is fair.
Here's my problem with the whole, yes, Tua has had two press conferences where he's taken shots at the public and shots at critics saying, oh, if you think it's so easy to play quarterback, then why don't you do it? Why aren't y'all doing it? While he has no business saying that, and notice I said he doesn't have any business saying that. It is the truth. These guys get paid a lot of money because it's a very hard thing to do. And what he's saying, even though it sounds like making TD's argument, is if you think it's easy to find Jalen Waddle with a 6'7", 340-pound man steamrolling his way to me after my bad offensive lineman just ole blocked him, and not throw an interception in the fourth quarter with all this pressure.
Excuses.
No. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. He said, if you think it's easy, I want to see you do it.
And then
on top of that, be this scrambling quarterback, even though when he was coming out of high school, he was rated the number one dual threat quarterback, which blows my mind because he ain't that kind of athlete. But he acknowledged in the press conference, which obviously TD did not watch. He said, yeah, that was before I had ankle injuries and I can't move like that no more.
I heard him say it.
Okay. Then he said, I'm not playing up to my standards. This is on me. The record is on me. The offense is on me. The defense needs to feed off me. And I'm not doing my job. He said that.
Omar. That's what we just heard. When we asked the question, is Tua being defensive? This goes back for weeks now. Okay. I'm not talking about what he's been coached up to say now. Because that hasn't existed before. That's the first time we heard that. At least
he's not
going
to say what he's coached up to say. And Poupard, I think you'll agree with that. He's not a Tua said,
but it's a 380. All of a sudden, these three losses are on me.
No. I think he's always taking accountability.
Yeah, he's always taking accountability.
He took accountability after Indianapolis. He's like, that's on me. I can't play this bad. Now, he got offended with the whole turnovers and bunches part, but he took accountability. Does everybody have a point that Tua is sensitive? Yes. The whole team, the whole organization, sensitive. Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an organizational issue. But Tua, how many times has Mike McDaniel said, heavy is the head that wears a crown? Tua has said, heavy is the head that wears a crown. He got the crown.
Mm-hmm.
He realized it's going to be heavy. But the problem
Alan. And that was Cam's point. That was Cam's
exactly, and I'm getting to it. The problem with Joe Shad's question is it was very loaded. One, it violates a rule that I have in journalism. Don't ask people about their money. Don't bring up their money. Joe's like, does he take special offense to people bringing up your money when they're criticizing you? And Tua's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never heard of it. Well, Cam Newton said you make $53 million and you're not playing as good as some of these other quarterbacks. And then y'all surprised he and his feelings? Like,
he should be above it.
Omar, is that for Cam Newton or Joe?
No, that's for he wasn't talking specifically about Cam Newton. He was referring to everybody.
Hmm.
He was not talking about Cam Newton. I want to see you come do it. He said, Cam Newton, you're doing your thing. You've done your thing. You're doing your thing. I don't know if he was referring to his media career, and Cam is doing his thing from a media career standpoint.
I like it. Yeah,
Cam is killing the game. As somebody who ran a big podcast, Cam is killing the game 4th-and-1. But what he was talking to is the general public, where everybody and if Joe had said Kurt Warner and Dan Orlovsky, yes, and those people are breaking down field, criticizing your play, this and this and that, and he had said what he had said, then I'd see like, whoa, Kurt Warner's in the Hall of Fame. Like, Kurt Warner is the NFL leader in accuracy for quarterbacks, I believe. I don't know if he still is. But that's not what he said. He said, for everybody who's in general who thinks it's easy to be up there with a clicker and a pointer and point this and that out and say, I should have did this and that, he said, come do it. Then you can make $54 million. That's what he's really saying. But none of y'all can do it, so shut your mouth.
Man, that's why we don't make $54 million. Because
he does not make $54 million. Number one, he's going. I hate when y'all do that. He don't make $54 million. He don't make $53 million. He is going to make $42 million over the course of his contract a year. Mm-hmm. He is never going to see the entire contract, and next year he's going to make $40 million. So y'all need to stop that foolishness. He is not making he got 15 million of that 53 guaranteed this year.
That's beside Omar. That's beside your honor, instructor witness.
That's part of the problem. Everybody lies about these quarterback contracts.
Your honor, instructor witness to stay on topic.
Everybody lies.
He keeps going. Yeah. Wait, no, really?
In a year in his career, his check is going to be $54 million.
You're being very defensive about the contract.
Very, very.
Is Tua getting paid too much? Yes, he is. Okay. Is Tua a $30 million contract? Yes, he is.
But
he's making what the market is the market.
Omar, if it's so easy, why don't you come and do it, should never, ever, ever be uttered by a professional athlete. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm not arguing with you.
And the real argument is he's not doing it. He's playing a position, right, but he's not doing
it. He hasn't done it in 2024 and 2025. You're right. He's not. Tua's not the same quarterback.
No. And that's why I've talked about him regressing.
I don't know if it's regressing. I just think it's various circumstances. Like, I'm sorry, you can't keep putting a trash line. I don't want to hear nothing from Alan. You can't keep putting a trash line on my blind side and then wondering why I'm antsy. I'm getting the ball out of my hand quick. Tua admitted, I'm not making it to my final read.
Because they pay you to. They pay you to not worry about it.
Okay. And then they also said to me, stay alive. Stay in the game. Keep yourself available.
Hold on. How do they pay him not to? I'm confused.
They pay you to play the fullest of the position without fear. Step in there and take the hits and deliver the football.
And then tell you to play with fear. Don't get
hit. But that's what comes with it. Is Lamar not out there taking it? Justin, everybody's out there taking it. It's a part of the position.
Justin, Josh, don't get hurt. Keep yourself available to the team. Do whatever you need to do. Don't get hurt.
Well, I mean,
that's what they told him.
Tough on that situation.
All seasons telling this quarterback, don't get hurt. Don't get hurt. Keep yourself available. Do what you need to do. Don't get hurt.
And this was Cam Newton's point. You're paying him like he doesn't have any of these limitations.
And that's the team's fault.
Yes, it is.
Should have let him play that fifth year.
You're right.
That's something that I was like, no. Don't pay, because again, it's 1 year, like we talked about when Sealer got his contract extension. If Phillips came out and had 15 and a half sacks, are we paying him X amount of money? And I was saying no, because it's 1 year. We've seen how many times a player has one good year and then they just disappear afterwards. And you know, it's the same situation. And someone posted I think I saw it on TikTok or something, a video of before his concussion, Tua was a lot more mobile than I even remembered him being. Against the Arizona Card, like his first two or three years, he was like the Patriots game. He olayed someone to get the touchdown. Like he was rolled out, ran the and then all of a sudden the concussions happened. Now he's not the same guy. He's not the same guy anymore.
No, so he can run. He's just instructed not to run.
But also, he's not at, because again, if you go back and watch him,
Buffalo him run.
If you go back and watch him under Brian Flores, he was way more mobile. Like, again, you watch him now versus then, Flores. He looks like he aged like 15 years in the span of like two seasons. Like, he was quick. Like I said, he was juking people. He was like in and out. He was like, and I was like, all right, that's a different, that's the quarterback we want now. That's the quarterback people are clamoring for now. I need a more mobile. We had that. And then all of a sudden the concussions and aged him like decades. So it's just, again, that's where my whole thought process is, that I think he regressed, because you look at his first 3 years, first three games under Mike McDaniel, the past three seasons, he was, you know, reliable except for last year. This year, he's a different quarterback. And to me, I think he regressed. And some people on Twitter did not like me using the word regressed.
Is there reaching a new ceiling at all?
Yes.
The only way he reaches the new ceiling is if he goes plays for the Eagles.
It's like, stop.
Okay,
we ain't talking about getting back to 22. We're talking about reaching the new ceiling, that hope you've had for 5.5 years, Omar, that yet he hasn't yet, that yet. Why would get shirts that say yet and put your picture on it, Omar?
Get the killer instinct. I'm sure we thought Sam Darnold was done and Geno Smith was done. And
They still done. They just reached, once again, they doing exactly what Tua did in 22. That's exactly what they're doing right now.
He can reach a new ceiling if
he's on the Eagles.
No, if
he actually gets Hall of Fame offensive line in front of him, Hall absolutely of Fame wide receivers, Hall of Fame running backs,
Hall of Fame tight end, Hall of Fame coach, Hall of Fame equipment manager,
Hall of Fame trainer,
Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles.
They require Hurts to do a lot of heavy lifting in the running game.
Yes.
I'd maybe even throw Detroit in there because you see how Jared Goff plays.
Yes, you would.
Detroit would be probably a better where he should go. All right, let's get to the next topic. When is enough enough? Are we talking our relationships with our wives? What are we talking? What is enough?
How about with you guys?
The funny thing is my wife watches this sometimes, and she's like, you guys are funny. So she'll heard that. You're going to hear her come down the stairs. I'm assuming when is enough enough, I guess, with the losing. And, you know, we have Monday's game, we're going up against a team that isn't great. They're kind of in the same boat as the Miami Dolphins, but the difference is fourth year under Mike McDaniel, four game under Aaron Glenn. So it's like two different
but two rosters that are resetting, and
one shouldn't be 4 years into a head coach's career.
Y'all heard Chris Greer. Stop.
I don't care what Chris Greer can.
And Weaver today confirmed that too.
I got a listen to that.
Well, anyway, you do. You're gonna have to be fined, Doug. Because if you didn't watch that Weaver press conference as a fan, you didn't watch that Weaver press conference, that man was nearly in tears. In my mind, that was his candidacy speech for interim head coach. And if it was like Obama when he was in the Democratic delegation, he didn't have my vote until that speech.
I don't know, man. These numbers I have sitting next to me, I don't know, man.
No.
He justified it all, and I can't knock him for what he said. I mean, he's actually 1,000% right.
He is 1,000% right. And if for those who do not know, Anthony Weaver basically came out and took his defense to task about their level of communication, their edge setting, and basically saying we have to play football violently and tough. That's a toughness. I'm questioning your toughness, which the whole team should.
That ain't have. What I heard.
What you heard?
What did you hear?
I got soft personnel. Let me tell you why that's what I heard. Because somebody asked the follow-up question, might have been you, about last week it was about doing your assignment.
Yeah,
and he's basically saying, yeah, I mean, that's the basic. That should have been done anyway. But yes, that's the focus because you weren't doing it. But now you're doing it. That ain't the end of the story.
Now you're doing it and you're just doing it. And you're just doing your assignment.
You need to beat the man in front of you. You need to fight. It was kind of like a cry out to me. Like, they not fighting after they do their assignment. They're just doing their job saying, I did my job. I was in my lane.
Let me give you, because that's perfectly into the stats that I have right here. Just doing their job and not violent. They're 31st in the NFL in pressure. 31st. They are 31st in quarterback hits. They are 26th in forcing throwaways.
And number one in blitzes.
Number two, actually. Number two in the NFL in blitzing. Like, who?
I saw number one.
I'll look
and then number 32 in quarterback pressures. Yeah. It's some damning, yeah. It's very damning stats, which is like, I wrote a column in the Miami Herald earlier this week. I'm like, this is the one thing that I did not expect. I did not expect a top five defense from last year to, and I know you guys disagree with me, to gain personnel in important pass rushers. Come on, you didn't have Chubb, you didn't have, and he even said,
I agree.
To gain Judon, you didn't have Judon, you didn't have Chubb, you didn't have Phillips. Those are three players.
You had Ramsey.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's not pass rushers.
And that Weaver interview was today, right?
Campbell was big, collapsing the pocket. You don't think Calais Campbell was big?
Yeah, no.
One guy, though. What we're saying is you took Calais Campbell out and you added three more pass rushers, and you still are worse than you were last year. You should be equal, if not.
Weaver saw Calais Campbell last night. It was like,
yep.
Did you see him? I don't know. Omar probably didn't see him, but
I didn't watch the game.
Oh, Alan, did you watch it?
Don't judge me.
Y'all didn't watch Calais Campbell was all over the place last night. He was all over the place last night. I mean, he was impacting that game, albeit a loss. Calais Campbell, they kept talking about, I'm like 38 or 39 or something, and look at him go, and he's on the sideline, leadership, just pumping people up, just going at it.
Yeah, I'm the Miami Dolphins. I said it. I stand on it. I would hand him the franchise and not look back.
Wait. What happened? You're cheating? Are you cheating on Lewis Riddick?
Ooh.
Come on now. Hey,
puts his mark.
Listen, Linda. I love Lewis Riddick. I love Lewis
Riddick. I know you do. I mean,
but I'm handing Calais Campbell will be my number one choice because 18 years, that man knows more than the coaches, knows more than the people running these organizations. He knows what a football player looks like. He knows what you need. What you need to be a football player. He's going to be in an NFL front office. I know him. I've talked to him. This is what his future is. I hand it to him now. You are my Ozzie Newsome. You build the franchise in your vision.
I ain't mad at that.
I don't play around about that. Calais is one of the. I've known Calais since he was a 18-year-old high school junior, a 17-year-old high school junior.
And he was still 6'3".
Yeah. And still, I knew everyone was destined for greatness, and he will be destined for greatness as an executive as well.
Oh, I don't disagree. I'm just shocked that you're dissing Lewis like that.
No, the problem with Lewis is Lewis doesn't want to play the game. And I think that's what's hurt him in the coaching search. You know, when you don't want to play the game, you know.
Lewis really got flaws. I don't know about in the front office.
That's for another episode, because we will go to war on that one.
I'm saying he believe in Tua. That's all we need to know. That's all we need to know. I'm just saying.
Please drive the show, sir.
Real quick, we obviously got the game. On Monday, it's a big game. You know, you see the what would trigger sell off. I feel like you lose to the Jets because, again, we're talking about a team that is going in the same direction. But again, it's the first four games of their head coach versus the first 4 years of Mike McDaniel. So real quick, want to do the more or less, and then we'll talk more about this game when it comes to that game per sleeper. So Devon Achane. TD, anytime touchdown, 0.5, more or less.
Take it. They just lost me so much money this year. So.
take what? More or less, you say take it. What does that mean?
More.
Take it. Yeah, more. So,
Alan, Tyreek Hill, half a touchdown, more or less.
More.
Omar, Jalen Waddle, half a touchdown, more or less.
Less.
TD, Tua Tagovailoa, 243.5 passing yards, more or less.
More.
I agree with that one.
This the week. This the week. He goes off.
Ollie Gordon. I'm going to take this one. Ollie Gordon, 7.5 rushing attempts. Better be more.
How many?
7.5.
Rushing attempts?
Yeah, better be more.
No, it's not going to be more. You know why? Because he's got to keep Jalen Wright happy.
Don't give a crap.
Mike McDaniel doesn't like players to be mad at him.
We should have fired him at the end of the season. We should have fired the man. Like, this is the stuff that drives me nuts. His need to be happy and everyone needs to like me. And then his projects that he doesn't move off of. Speaking of projects
he doesn't move off of.
Julian Hill. Tanner Connor.
I got one for you.
Darren Waller.
Julian Hill hasn't committed a penalty yet. And y'all still hating.
Skylar Thompson.
I'll leave it alone, Alan.
Project. Like, the man's like, I can leave it alone. Skylar Thompson. All right, Darren Waller.
That's not who he's thinking about, Omar. Oh,
what?
Well, he didn't.
That's
hey,
I was thinking
say,
about.
I'll say this, TD. He didn't start that project. He was handed that
project. He owned it from day one. From
that's
the
reason
from
he the got a job.
That's how he that's got his job.
He got a job. Okay. I make the joke that we had this big spotlight trying to find a head coach, and every time we said something, it got more and more narrow. You got to work with our GM. You got to work with our DC. You got to work with Tua. And that spotlight beamed.
And this is the fourth time he's done that.
Just standing there like, I'll take the job.
Yeah, this is the fourth time he's done that. And this is why what he continues
I'll to take any job. From. He had one interview. And it was with the Dolphins. And he was like, I'll do whatever you want. Give me the job. I'll do whatever you want. I will fix it.
Hold on, wait a minute. If we're gonna talk about that situation, let's make sure we're factually correct. They were really working backdoor channels to try to get Sean Payton to commit to the deal. And they had to wait longer than they would have liked. And then other candidates took other jobs and other candidates pulled themselves out of the job. And really the choice should have been Dan Quinn, if we're gonna be real and honest. Yes,
100%. I agree with that.
But we had to pretend like Mike McDaniel was this miracle worker and genius and sell him like that. And he lived up to it early. And now, we got to see that genius come back.
Last one, Darren Waller, 13.5 receiving yards.
I'm going over.
Where, Alan, you going over or under? TD over under.
I ain't betting it.
I'm going to take the over on
this Darren Waller project to not make it look good. We're too far.
I know. And he looked good. Yeah. He do look healthy.
Running. Oh, I got more for you. Odell Beckham. Oh, my God. Like so many that I can just keep giving you that they just don't. Oh, it's not working.
No, they abandoned Odell Beckham. They cut him.
Yeah, like halfway through the season.
He wasn't available for the first half. They cut him.
Where's your problem? What are you doing, man?
Oh, yeah. He asked for his release, and then they actually.
Sure. Left. Sure, Alan. Really.
Yes. Yes, sure. Yes, he did.
Bull. Okay. That man showed up late for a meeting and got whacked.
Real quick, we'll go around the table. This game on Monday, again, it's more big for the Dolphins than it is for the Jets, because Aaron Glenn's not going anywhere for like at least another year. Like they'd really have to go 0-17 for him to get fired.
He's
this not year.
Getting fired anytime.
Yeah, exactly. I have the Dolphins winning this one. I didn't have the Dolphins winning the last two. And I got him winning this one, so maybe I'm right. I think that our offense is going to force their defense to do things that they don't want to, because their defense is struggling. You saw it against Tampa Bay, where Tampa Bay is like, oh, cool, you know, block a field goal for a touchdown. We're just going to move down the field and kick a field goal. We win. It's our defense. But again, if you commit to stopping the run and you force Justin Fields to throw the ball, I think we can win that one. So I got the Dolphins winning this one. Omar, what's your thoughts on this game?
I definitely have the Dolphins winning. I'm going to go 24-17. If you don't get this one,
sell it off. Sell it off.
It's open season. You thought it was bad. You thought it was bad at 0-3.
Alan?
What Omar said. I don't think the Jets are a good team at all. They've had problems on defense, which was supposed to be their calling card, so to speak. I'd worry about Justin Fields scrambling more so than I worry about his passing or the Jets running game. Normally, I would tell you that this is a game the Dolphins should win handily, but they're not. There's nothing that they've done that's convinced me that they're anywhere near that point. I think they're going to squeak it out, maybe like, I don't know, 20-17 or 24-21.
As long as they do win.
Well, correct.
They got to release some of this pressure. And then you got
the Panthers the week after, which, again, isn't cakewalk because they beat the crap out of the Falcons, but it is a division rival. But getting those two wins and getting to 2-3 would definitely alleviate a lot of that pressure. T, what's your thoughts on Monday's game?
I think the Dolphins are going to win in a high-scoring thriller. I think Tua's going to do his thing. He's going to get back to being very efficient. He's going to throw a couple, maybe even three touchdowns in this one.
I'm glad you can acknowledge that he's in a very efficient quarterback. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, I mean, bubble screens and all that, I mean, it's pretty common. But anyway, but no, he's going to have a good game. He's going to actually start attack the intermediate. That secondary is struggling real bad for the Jets.
Yeah.
The pass rush isn't what they expected it to be. Plus, they got some guys that's hurt in those trenches as well. The Dolphins are going to have a field day on offense. I think everybody feels good about us, about witnessing us actually be productive on that side of the football again. But here's where the issue comes in this game. Justin Fields is about to do the exact same thing. His ability to escape the pocket and his mobility, and the Jets' O-line is still solid. People need to remember that. And it's not even about the protection. It's about giving run lanes and opportunities to extend the play. I think he's going to have a big day on the ground running the football, and that's what's going to cause it to be a shootout. I could see the Dolphins winning this game 35-31.
The Dolphin defense is fifth in the NFL in allowing quarterbacks to scramble, and they are 30th in the NFL allowing a 40% clean pocket. So, that's what they really need to focus on. Hopefully, you know, Weaver's comments really drove that home to like step it up. Last thing I want to talk about, and then we'll get to the donations. There was a rumor out there, Jalen Phillips trade possibility. Is there a market? And I'll pull up the tweet so I can tell you exactly what was said. Is there a market, do you think, for Jalen Phillips?
Absolutely, because you're probably not going to re-sign him. I think Bradley Chubb as well. If we're having a fire sale and we're not at that point yet, Tyreek's gone, Jalen Phillips is gone, Bradley Chubb is gone. We having a fire sale. We starting fresh. And now Jalen Phillips is not going for anything less than a third round pick because that could potentially be the compensatory pick that you get for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, yeah, these guys are for sale. If they're not winning, everybody's for sale. Everybody.
Because he's putting up numbers, and this is what drove me nuts about them consistently dropping him into coverage. He's 13th in hurrying the quarterback among defensive ends.
Hold on. There's a reason why they're dropping him into coverage, and I will not be shy about telling you. Nobody else can drop into coverage as an edge. Nobody. Like, Chubb can't do it. Chubb can't do it. Judon can't do it.
Stop doing it. It's your best pass rusher, and you
got to change the whole entire scheme.
Yeah, because that secondary don't need every bit of help.
I mean, we asked Weaver about that 2 weeks ago, and he was like, "Okay, so you want me to run a 4-3? Is that what you want me to do?"
I got excited when that first depth chart came out, and it was a 4-3. I was like, "Are they changing?"
Well, you thought you saw bad now. I run a 4-3.
Yeah, you think it was bad now. Like, people have this theory that Willie Gay replacing Tyrell Dotson with Willie Gay is going to make it magically better. While I do acknowledge that Willie Gay will bring some energy and better coverage, the issue is, and I always suspected this, they don't have like a instinctive heat-seeking inside linebacker that can hunt down the run.
Mm.
Like, and it's just okay. Run defense. That's their number. If they could fix one thing, if you ask Anthony, say, Mr. Weaver, let's fix one thing. What's the one? I'm going to magically snap my fingers and fix one thing. I promise you, he'd tell you, stop the run.
Mm.
We can make everything else work if we could do that.
Doug, I got a question.
Kind of generic.
Yeah, I have a question for the panel, though, and I know y'all saw this on X. If Houston call right now and offer CJ Stroud for Tyreek and Tua, would y'all do it? I'm just that's curious.
Heartbeat. No question,
but that's not going to happen.
That is the most. I'm just asking, would you do it?
It's the most unrealistic trade I've ever seen.
I'd give them Tyreek, Waddle, and Tua.
Oh, like, you would too, Allen?
I would even acknowledging that Stroud looks like crap. But because he's been traumatized by, you want to talk about bad offensive lines completely stifling what you can do, Omar? That's one case right there. And
it applies to him, but it doesn't apply to Tua. Okay.
With also a crap offensive line that's a lot worse than, you think the Dolphins' offensive line is bad? That Houston offensive line of the past 2 years?
Why did they get rid of Laremy Tunsil? I never understood that move.
He's getting ahead of it.
He's a very, he's a very picking up a lot of penalties. Individual that wears out his welcome.
Gotcha.
Mm. Wow. But I just discovered all y'all Tua haters. I'm keeping my quarterback.
You're the one who made the video. The most unrealistic video I've ever seen.
You go set us up. Make us all acknowledge that we would trade.
Boy, y'all found these y'all real Tua haters, y'all.
If you go on PFF, if you go on all these mock drafts, you know how easily you can get the first overall pick by just trading Tua and a first next year? Like, it's so unrealistic. When I saw that video, I was like, duh.
Y'all need to stop. Tua has value. You know, Tua the type of guy, I think he just need a new scenery.
Oh, I agree. I actually agree with that. I don't know if you're messing with
me. He has value. I actually agree with that. No, I'm serious. He has value. People are like man, I ain't going to get into it, but he has value. Tua definitely has value.
Well, just because, TD, we're getting to donations. Shout out to everyone in the stream. Thumbs it up. Thank you for joining us. Just because of your messing with us, this is the first donation of the day. And it is Lil TV with the $5 donation
that have been blocked.
I would like to ask the remarkable prestige, the beat writer with golden pen, Omar Kelly, tell TD there's no way in hell you can still win the division.
Can you still win the division?
If we lose this week.
Actually, you can. Josh Allen could get hurt next week. You can win the division. You can still win the division. Wow. Mm-hmm. You only took two losses already in the division. You can finish 1-2.
Gotta win Monday. Sanch with the tour says TD will dig up a dead horse just to beat it again.
Yeah, that mean it really wasn't dead.
Bro, he just set us up. They made all of us trade whatever for CJ Stroud. They also made y'all two haters.
Y'all haters.
Aaron with the fiver says, guys, since Tua is the NFL whipping boy, do you think it's weird some Dolphin fans and media have too much parasocial hatred on one dude?
What does parasocial hatred mean?
Not necessarily, because again, it was it's happened throughout time, especially with the Dolphins. People at one point, people hated Tannehill. They hated him. And you know, when he was about to get traded, I made a video talking about, like, I could see him getting traded. People, like, either people would tell me I'm delusional, there's no value there, or people would yell at me, why would we trade him? And then we got to, you know, we traded him. So I don't think it's necessarily Tua. I think it's just football.
No, it's Tua. We know in this market, especially from when you watch the traffic, Tua has the Alabama market. He's got the Polynesian market. He draws eyes. That's why ESPN can't get off him, because he is a ratings magnet. He's very polarizing. I say this, Pupar disagrees. He is this generation's Tebow, where you have an opinion of him. Love him or hate him, you have an opinion of him.
Why are you saying I disagree with you?
Because we've talked about that before. You said you don't like that when I compare him to Tebow. You haven't.
No, Tebow won a playoff game.
You're absolutely right. He's a better Tebow.
He's a better quarterback than
Tebow. But he draws, and that's the problem that Tua has. And I've had this conversation, and he doesn't care. Huh. People are obsessed with him, and like, it doesn't matter what he does, people are obsessed with him. Like, the minute he starts playing well again, and he will.
Yeah,
they're gonna. Oh, Tua's finally rebounding and playing like the quarterback we know he has the potential to be, because it's going to draw ratings, and it's polarizing. People still going to hate. People still going to love. And it's, you know, it gets old after a while, to be honest.
So, Doug, I can't speak on the media. Go ahead, Alan.
No, I was going to say that it gets old after a while. It got old very, very quickly, that there's zero sense of nuance about what Tua is as a quarterback. It's either – Hall of Famer, or he completely sucks. Like, seriously, like.
I'm a fan, and I don't even say he's a Hall of Fame.
People call him a leader.
When he was putting up the number, by the way, you're a fan. You kept pounding on that. Let the NFL in passing yards. Let the NFL in passer rating.
Yeah, I don't say that. He did lead the NFL in pass yards. He did lead the NFL in passer rating. He did lead the NFL in completion percentage. All things Cam Newton never did, by the way.
My point. Wow. Cam Newton
MVP. Cam Newton, Super Bowl guy.
And rookie of the year, and led a team to the Super Bowl. Can I go on or stop?
No. That's the problem. What Omar just did, that's the problem.
Why?
It's like y'all like, I'm not going to say fake, but y'all glorify it intentionally.
What?
See, I can't speak for the media. I can only speak for a lot of fans. They don't hate Tua. They hate a certain portion of the fan base that overly, when Tua was drafted, there was a civil war that started. He is going to be the next this. No, he's not. And people have been doing for years.
They dug in their position.
Competing with each other to show you, told you he was, told you he not. And all I got to say is, where are we on that spectrum now?
We're in the he's not. And it's time to move off to it. That I think
that's what's happening.
That's the majority of what's going on right now. But everybody's tying in the contract. Yeah, I told y'all from the beginning, 2026 is going to be the last year of his contract. If he's not balling and they restructure that deal, he's going to be released or traded. Like, there's no secret to it. I always tell y'all where the contract is. Waddle's contract done in 2026 too. Like,
it's a great mystery. I mean, that's when the guaranteed money.
Yeah, when the guaranteed money is over the contract, unless the player is worth more than his salary is, the contract is done.
Well, Omar, the problem with Tua's contract is if he got hurt today, it guarantees the next year's.
But they also have insurance on him. So if he gets hurt tomorrow, they can walk out of that contract, take the cap hit, but not have to pay him. His insurance will pay him. So who cares? I don't think Tua plays this game for money.
No.
I think Tua plays this game to be great. And I think right now, and I've said this before, I think the pressure of this season, where everybody knows win or you're fired, I literally had this conversation today with a player. Not going to name them, but they know when or everybody's fired. My coach is fired. When, I'm going to start over. The next GM is going to – is he going to like me or is he going to purge me or what's going to happen with me? That pressure, they were not prepared for it. They were mentally soft, play physically soft. They're just a soft franchise. And what Weaver said is exactly how you have to approach it. Get tougher. Stop being a B. Be violent. Like, forget all this stuff that's going on around the Miami market. All you win, it solves everything. And be, you know, they're like, they're too scared to they play tight. And it's, you know, it's, I don't know how to get past it.
Your comparison of Tebow is like spot on, because to this day, if I talk about how much Tebow sucks, and I do, because God, was he a horrible passer, I get flamed from Florida fans. Like, holy crap, he doesn't suck. And
do you watch Alabama fans will flame you right now? You say Tua sucks.
Oh my God, and Tebow's throw and how he would like drop his shoulder, bring it up, and he got lucky that Thomas caught that ball and took it to the house. Because they were losing.
That was execution, Doug. That was execution. He won a playoff game.
Blind squirrel acorn.
Exactly. That was execution, my butt. He beat the Dolphins. He had like what, 60 passing yards, and it was horrible.
Man, nobody.
Hey, it was on a day that the Dolphins celebrated him too.
That's when he started doing the ceremonial.
There's never been a quarterback better than Tim Tebow in the last 3 minutes.
Sure.
That's true.
In the last 3 minutes of the game, it was a miracle what this man could do on the football field in the last 3 minutes.
Sure, let's go with that.
Jose with the tour said, Omar, stop with the offensive line, bro, please. It is something you need to take into account. Now, is it everything? No, but it is something you have to take into account.
Y'all like, two is not the same. Two is not going downfield. Two is not reading the field. Two is throwing interception. You know why? Because two is rushing everything. Because he feels even on plays
when the protection is really good, which happened quite a bit against the ball.
Because he's not expecting the protection to be really good. Because he's got
a. Well, then that's a.
Tool. What are we doing? Then what are we doing?
Get him a line. Tom Brady said it. Get him a line where he actually feels comfortable, like he could step into the throw. You'll see a different quarterback.
But game over with the Fiverr said Tua wanted to talk about his money when he acted like a clown, shouting, "Show me the money." Now he's just crying because he's sucking. I'm not getting into that debate again. You guys can talk about that if you want.
I'm over it.
JD! If I got paid and my teammates dared me to do it, I would have done it. The great that one.
It would have been tone deaf. Just like QB1.
If the team was okay with it, I would have done it.
They cheered. The fans cheered.
Gifted,
awesome. Still completely tone deaf, but that's my opinion.
Gifted 5 membership. Shout out to you, bud. Roberto with the $2. Could Tua succeed on the Rams?
Yeah, I think they'd be in the market for Tua.
CTD, you don't think he could succeed anywhere?
Tua can succeed everywhere. Just put it like that. Then he can succeed everywhere.
You wonder why so many people use your face as an icon on YouTube.
Let me see. He's assist getting sent
out. That man trolled us with a CJ Stroud question, and then can y'all believe that?
T with the Fiverr says dyslexic form. Doug Poupart was right that arm strength is crucial for quarterbacks like Tua to drive the ball downfield. I'm dyslexic too. Doing good, man. Did you see how quickly I read that? Did you see how that would smell? Shout out to you, T, for understanding dyslexics. I get flamed in the comment section. Why do you let Dog read the super chats? Why do you let him? If he's dyslexic, he shouldn't be reading. Like, people are like, people, what is it called? They're not like,
you got a good job, Dog.
You guys know I don't read out loud. Childhood, it's crazy.
I hated it.
Yeah, hate reading.
You would count, right? They would do paragraphs and you'd count.
The kids would laugh at me.
1, 2, 3, and then you get to your 8th paragraph and you read it like 9 times, so you were ready. And then they were like, do 2 paragraphs. You're like, son of a god. You have to go down. We got Alan.
Can I chime in for 1 second? Tim Tebow's career completion percentage in the last 4 minutes of a game is 43.2%.
Hey, them 43 counted. Them 43 counted
at the end of the game.
Them 43 counted, Allen.
Hey, you underestimated Allen Pappard. I had to live with this for like 2 years.
Allen, what was his passer rating?
It probably was worse than that. Yeah,
no, it can't be worse than that. Hey, no, it might be. He ran some of them.
He was bad. That's why he played tight end. Anyway, Aaron with the fiver.
Hey, Tebow wouldn't be over three right now.
Omar, are Tua Glazers and Tua haters the same? If not, who's worse to talk football to?
It's confession. I don't understand what a Glazer is.
Like they Tua can do nothing wrong.
A lovers and the haters the same?
Like Allen is with Herbert's arm.
It is what it is. It's polarized. There's nobody who's there are some people who are indifferent. Like I have some friends who are like they were indifferent and now they're done with him. Mm-hmm. It's very hard. Tua has to play really well to get this fan base to believe in him again. And that means throw the ball deep to Tyreek.
Yeah.
Or Waddle. Yeah. Notice he hasn't thrown the ball deep to either. Like people
took a couple of shots to Tyreek a little bit down the field.
Here's my question.
People do realize Waddle is a deep threat too, you know. I have no idea why they use him like a possession receiver.
I just need a quarterback to unlock him.
Here's my question. And we talked about this before. You know, he's not working with QB3D anymore, and he's not working with Nick Hicks, and then he had the hip injuries because he got banged up twice, essentially, last year with his hip. Do you think that's the reason? Like, is he having a hard time driving the ball, or do you think his fundamentals went right out the window? Because in 2023, he was able to throw nice deep balls where they were catching. Look at the Chargers game where he threw that perfect
maybe QB3 screwed him up because when he came back after working with them, it went away, right? Maybe Dolphins decided that they don't want him working with Nick Hicks anymore. Or maybe Tua fell out with Nick Hicks. Nobody knows why Tua stopped working with Nick Hicks.
I ain't seen him on the yacht.
Like, I mean, I don't get into all that stuff because one, y'all know I'm not a John Beck fan. Like, I'm sorry. No. Like, you're not gonna fix my quarterback when you were a disaster doing what he was doing. Like
people who can't do teach and people who can't
no. Forgotten more football than John Beck. No. But when he stopped work when he started working with him, that's when the deep ball disappeared.
That is true though. 2024, it was rough. Yeah,
y'all think about it a little bit.
Make you ponder on that. Noel B with the fiver said, what other head coach would succeed with his current roster?
Brian Flores. Oh,
everybody.
No.
Say it again, Allen.
Say it loud. No, I disagree with you because he would coach the offense because he couldn't hire an offensive coordinator.
You don't think the defense would be seven times?
He could not hire an offensive coordinator.
He didn't have enough time.
Defense would be a lot better.
Yeah, 3 years.
He didn't have 3 years. The first year they tied it all down. They don't last
year. They had a defense. I believe it was better than Brian Flores' defense. Hold on.
Didn't Brian Flores' offense at the time was the best we had in like 20 years?
No.
With Ryan Fitzpatrick?
In 2020 with Chan Gailey.
With Chan Gailey. But Brian Flores didn't hire Chan Gailey. Chris Greer hired Chan Gailey and got him to come here. Listen, Chan Gailey was on the first thing smoking out this joint. Just like Jim Caldwell. Just like Patrick Graham, just like who else? How many other people got to quit on Brian Flores before y'all realize his leadership was bad?
Listen, you ain't taking your boss you out of here.
Never argued that point with you. The guy was brilliant.
That's my point. If you retain him, he still had to hire an offensive coordinator. Nobody was coming to work with him.
Sometimes it takes time, though. It takes time. But
it could be the opposite where it takes time for that information to get out where it's like it's hard to work with him, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I get that. All I'm saying is, I just personally feel like he didn't have the fairest of shakes in Miami.
I agree. With how it started, I agree. But I also agree that, like, again, he is top five defensive coordinator, maybe top three defensive coordinator. Miami,
because he was not good at collaboratively working with people. How do y'all not get that?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but what's the difference
from I'm your boss, and I tell you to get on the yacht with Tom Brady. Get on the bleeping yacht.
No, you don't get on the yacht.
Why you don't get on the yacht?
Because I'm not trying to get Mark Jackson for Steve Kerr. Like, you want this man to take risk? He trying to do it the right way. He like, I'm not trying to cheat and beat up.
He's different NFL. Stop.
Yeah, I understand that. Winger, but some people may feel like, you know what? Not me. I mean, I don't want to
met with Tom Brady during the Super Bowl. It was seven.
You know what? You know what?
It was seven.
We knocking him in.
My head coach don't get on the yacht.
We knocking a man for doing the right thing. I want you to think about that, though. And I get it. I would have been on the yacht. I would have been meeting with Tom Brady.
You ain't trying in the NFL.
I would have been on the yacht with Tom Brady, but we can't knock the man for doing the right thing. For
stealing signs. Like, literally, in a press conference. Like, if you're not cheating in the NFL, you're not trying.
Come on, man. Can we bring Brian back?
He won't come back. He got a loss. Does he ever do against the Dolphins?
No, it ain't against the Dolphins.
Going to a jury trial, and they will fear the crap out of that.
Finn's RK with the tenor says, Tua clearly needs to play better, but people act like better options are just sitting out there. Well, TD has a better option. The Dolphins need real quarterback competition.
Who's TD better option?
CJ Stroud.
Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders.
Keep drafting slash signing until they find someone better. Shedeur Sanders.
They need to go get Shedeur.
That man ain't even doing practice squad reps in Cleveland. Come on.
Yeah, and why? Why?
I don't know.
What they'll lead you to believe, but go ahead.
John Brown, member for 4 months, said, good to see you guys anyway. They trade A-chan, they better not.
Yeah, I think they could.
I could see it.
I know, but they better not. You should have sold
somebody off a second round pick for A-chan, who's what they might do next year.
They might move on to third because he's gonna be asking for money soon.
Omar, yeah, exactly. He's asking for money next year.
Answer my damn question. A one round pick.
Second.
Take eight. A what round pick, Omar?
A second round pick.
Take nine.
Huh? When's the last time a running back got traded for?
No, but that's what Omar's saying. If someone offers it, he's gone.
Third,
maybe. But when that came out, that rumor came out about Jalen Phillips. I was like,
you could throw any player's name on there. When we get to mid October, we'll talk about it. We'll see if we're having a fire sale.
Roger with the tenor said, what would be your dream future Finns head coach? I'll start. It's a bit unrealistic, but Mario Cristobal of the Canes reminds me so much of Dan Campbell with his punch you in the mouth philosophy. I watched.
No.
What game was it? Was it the Florida State game where he like ran the ball three times? Yes. I was like, what is he doing? Like, he's too conservative for me.
His game management is shaky, and that's
being. I thought you were going to say a curse word. I was about to be like, Alan Poupart.
Hey, we bet, though.
You're number three right now?
Who would be your dream coach, Poupart?
You know who mine is.
Nick Fangio. all seriousness.
I'm actually Vic Fangio, too. You Vic Fangio had a lot of what you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm of Mike Tomlin. That's my
That's my one guy. I'm watching what's happening in Pittsburgh. I hope they flame out.
Please fall apart. Just
but you know you're gonna have to trade a first round pick for him, right?
I know, but it'd be worth it.
But what if they move on?
No, they're not gonna move on. They're gonna trade him. If it goes south, they're gonna trade him.
Keep Tua one more year, draft a quarterback in 2027.
It could happen. I could see it happen, but I thought Pittsburgh, I actually watched them last week and I thought they were a lot better than they actually are. And
the Patriots also coughed the ball up what, like seven times.
Yeah. Turned it over six times or something like
that. And you know they haven't won a playoff game since 2016, right?
Yeah.
Against the Dolphins.
He's the not right version of Florida.
never had a losing season.
Yeah.
The trucker with the fiver said, coach needs to stop killing Reek with gashers all game. Use Washington. I'd rather have Reek on the field instead of the sidelines winded. Yeah, I noticed that.
Or Waddle. I'm working on that. I'm getting there. Like the next thing I jab this team in the side about is going to be that.
Yeah, that's crazy work.
Lady Silverhook with the fiber says, Brokaw is out for the season. The 2 years the Panthers won the championship, the Dolphins stunk. The universe must correct. Flip it. I just have to wait a year.
That's Alexander Barkov for you non-hockey people.
Yeah, I was like, is a Barkov on the list? I'm like, I really
he's checking the roster. He's like,
I'm like, oh, is that a guard or something? Is that the eighth guard or something?
He's on the practice squad. He's the international exemption. On the
Mark, you know one of those guards, he's huge. I don't know if he's good, but he's huge. Ooh. I don't know which one it is. I don't even learn how to play a name. And like one of them.
Give me a number.
I'm not there, but no, they're both tackles. They're both like they're, one of them 6'8", 305
Yeah, they are huge. Yeah. Now, can they play? I don't know.
Well, one of them is an international player who's been on practice squads for the past 4 years. So I.
Void sent you with the tenor says praying the Cardinals are idiots and get rid of Kyler Murray. Imagine him with our line, which is better than most Omar and weapons like Tyreek Waddle. I'm trying to read and all I see in the corner of my eyes, these two. HN and McDaniel could actually open his playbook. If he studied the playbook, sure.
It's two quarterbacks, please stay away from. That's Trevor Lawrence and Kyler Murray.
I'm with you on almost both of them.
Please.
No, thank you.
Brett with the 20. Alan has been ignoring my latest super chats, but I still love him. It's not on him. It's probably on us because we talk too much.
Or no, he's thinking about my own podcast. So, Brett.
I'll never forget getting the love hearts back in the day, like never. Tua's arm strength has diminished. Something is up with that. Yeah.
Not like you ever had a gun, though. Can we be honest?
Let's I will say, y'all know I was a tank for Tua chairman. First time I actually got to see him throw at a training camp, I was like, what? Like, what happened to the arm that's all college?
Hips.
Yeah.
No, you saw the arm in college through the different lens or something. Come on, he didn't have.
See it in college.
He didn't have a gun in Alabama either. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he had a quality. He had a better arm. Enough arm.
It was better. It was a little marginally better.
The first camp we saw him OTAs, I was like, what? Like, where did arm go?
Yeah, like the NFL added 5 pounds to the ball.
But he's been NFL what?
They added 5 pounds to the ball or something.
Trust me, Pat White will swear to you that ball is bigger. It's the circumference of it is wider. Because I know I can throw a college ball. I can't throw an NFL ball.
College balls are fatter too. They're more like rugby balls than the NFL.
You also try a CFL ball.
Roger with the fiver. Omar, you know. You know, you would love an O-line like the Canes have.
Absolutely. I would trade the Miami Dolphins O-line for the Canes O-line right now.
When we get to
now, we're getting ahead of ourselves now.
I would. Absolutely.
Let's see, Obama could beat an NFL team. Give me
I'm not saying that. Them boys is big. That I love a big line. You know that. I'm not all this athletic.
Just move them.
Stretch plays and get downfield. Nah.
You're a size queen, in other words.
You like some big.
You're right. You got me.
J-Rad with the tour says, if the Finns get to 4-4, are playoffs hopes alive?
Yeah, of course.
Just they got a tough road with that three-game stretch.
One, two, three. They can do that.
What's the eighth game?
Atlanta.
Oh.
They can do that. They can beat Carolina. They can beat the Chargers.
Good damn. Can we let them win the game first?
You're right. They got to win the game first.
Brett with the fiver says Omar ain't wrong about Rika and gas, but poop's still better than Omar. Journalism.
Brett, that deserves another one, man.
I got a question, then we're going to get out of here real quick. Just a yes or no, because I've gotten this. Miami Dolphins have a top three pick. You taking a quarterback or offensive lineman, Omar?
That's yes. You said it was a
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, I know, but then I realized what I wanted to ask.
Omar.
Yes, that's my answer.
Absolutely an offensive lineman, because right now I have not seen a quarterback that's worthy of a top three pick. Maybe one surfaces later on in the year, but I've been looking at these quarterbacks, and I like Sellers, but like, I don't want an artificially inflated quarterback.
Alan?
Quarterback, well, it depends on the circumstances. If the franchise has been blown up and you've moved on from everybody, if you haven't, and, or you're making the commitment to Tua in 2026, then you go off and somebody.
TD,
Top three or three?
Top three.
I'm trading the pick down to in the 20s, and I'm getting an O lineman, but I'm starting to stock up for first rounders next year. For
if you have to stay.
Oh, if yeah. I have to stay at three,
top three, O-line or quarterback.
I'm packaging that first round pick with a deal to go get CJ Stroud.
Because I said this, no, and a lot of people.
I can't go old. I don't want to get an O-line, man, and then you know I keep on putting somebody behind them that ain't worth it. I want to find my quarterback and then build my team.
Because I keep. So I put that out there, and I said, you know, if the because someone had us projected to have the third overall pick, and I'm like, if we're picking up there, you might as well, you know, get yourself a quarterback. People are like, no, we need an O-line. And I'm like, isn't it the Jake Long, yeah, Matt Ryan all over again?
Yeah, it is. It is. And I was in the long camp, and in hindsight, I think I was wrong. But Jake Long ain't win nothing either. Like,
you're playing the results. The guy blew out his knees after 4 years. You're playing the results.
I know I'm playing the results, okay. but – Like, here's the thing. If I knew there was a quarterback who could give me a Matt Ryan career, yeah, probably. But, like, right now, it's like, it's okay. It's nothing exciting. Mm-hmm. Nothing winning me over. Mm-hmm. Like, people are talking about Carson Beck being a first-round pick, and he's all right.
But the one thing I've learned,
he's Matt Ryan.
The one thing I've learned about quarterback prospects, I am now officially convinced I am going to start, no matter what, going with the intangibles. I'm talking about big, tall quarterback, strong arm, and hopefully mobile.
You're getting Will Levis. Okay, gotcha.
But TD,
I might be all right with that, to be quite honest with you.
I mean, you could go get them now. You could go get them for a pack of chocolates.
Chocolate. Shout out to Axel for becoming a member. That's it for us. We will see you Tuesday. Hold on. Brett just threw a 20 at us. I threw an NFL ball 90 yards back in the day to a who makes no mistake. I love. Can't even do 65, by the way. I'm also...
35.
Garp gun? Nah,
y'all can't. Tua can't do 65. No, I know how far Tua can throw. Tua can throw 55 yards.
52.8.
But we will see you guys Tuesday.
Way, hold on. I got to give Garp Gump right there like this. And by the way, don't think I've forgotten you, because you were big on the idea of the Dolphins. I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but you were big on the idea of the Dolphins maybe being parallels to the 1990 Dolphins team. Unfortunately, that's not worked out so far. But hey, love you, buddy.
So we will see you Tuesday, 7:30. Hopefully after a Dolphins victory, we're going to be talking about the game and all that stuff. You could check Omar Kelly out on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Fins Talk, youtube.com/TD Fins Talk, and myself at youtube.com/DougLeeDurong. Let's go get a W. Let's flip and win. TD's going to take a nap. We out. Man.